Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gland Pharma Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumanta Bajpayee from Gland Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good evening and warm welcome to Gland Pharma's earnings conference call for second quarter of financial year 2023. I have with me Mr. Srinivas Sadu, MD and CEO, Mr. Ravishekar Mitra, CFO, to discuss business performance and to answer queries during the call. We will begin the call with business highlights and overview by Mr. Sadu, followed by financial overview by Mr. Mitra. After opening remarks from the management, operator will open the bridge for Q&A session. Before we proceed with the call, please note some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking and based on management estimates, and this must be viewed in conjunction with risk and uncertainties involved in our business. The safe harbor language contained in our press release also pertains to this conference call. This call is being recorded, and the playback of the call shall be made available in our website shortly after the call. The transcript of the call will be submitted to the stock exchanges and will be uploaded in our website. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Thank you all. Over to you, Mr. Sadu.
Thank you, Sumanta. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings call for the second quarter of fiscal 2023. My festive wishes to all our shareholders, analysts, and their families. Last quarter saw heightened economic uncertainty globally. After a tough start to the year, while we continue to see some supply chain disruptions and long lead times for several processing and primary materials, we saw improvement in supplies in the second half of this quarter and have much better visibility on our key material supplies. Our efforts on easing the supply chain by qualifying additional vendors and additional lines for manufacturing are also starting to show results. Commercial production of insulin restarted during the second half of the quarter. I'm pleased to announce that our new offices at U.S. and Singapore are now operational. This expansion is aimed at strengthening existing customer relationships, forming new partnerships in target markets to drive growth while aligning our internal product pipeline strategy with our customers' feedback, and also help us in mitigating some of the supply chain disruptions in the future. This initiative will also allow us to explore partnerships to accelerate our entry into the biologic biosimilar CDMO space. We had our first physical U.S. FDA pre-approval inspection audit since COVID outbreak between 22nd August to 25th August at our Dundigal facility. We received one observation from the audit, and our teams have already responded to the observation. I'm satisfied with the preparedness of our teams across all our sites for any regulatory audit. We closed this quarter Q2 FY23 with a revenue of rupees 10,444 million as against rupees 10,805 million in Q2 FY22, and our PAT stood at rupees 2,412 million for the quarter against rupees 3,021 million in Q2 FY22. We have generated rupees 627 million of cash flow from operations in Q2 FY23. The delay in material supplies impacted volumes for certain products, and we observed impact from price erosion in some of our recent launches. Our robust business model gives us the flexibility to onboard multiple customers for single molecule, which is helping us maintain strong market shares in key molecules. Our strength of handling manufacturing of high volume injectable products and compliance track record has enabled us to stand out from competition. We managed to launch six product SKUs during the quarter, which included bumetanide in the U.S. and bortezomib in the European market. We also launched other products, including oxaliplatin in the Canadian market. We continue to make investments in R&D and were able to complete six ANDA filings during Q2 FY23 in line with our plan. The filings will further accelerate in the second half of the fiscal year. We are receiving encouraging feedback from China. It should help us increase our pace of China filings as well over the next year. During Q2 FY23, upon excluding capital R&D expenditure, the R&D expenditure stands at 3.8% of our revenue for the period, in line with our historical trend. As on 30th September 2022, we along with our partners have 322 ANDA filings in the US and 1586 product registrations globally. We have onboarded some senior executives during the quarter to strengthen our plant operations and human resources functions. We are further looking for talent to strengthen our biotech manufacturing capabilities. Let me summarize our performance across various geographies. Our rest of the world markets accounted for 21% of our Q2 FY23 revenue, similar to the contribution in Q2 FY22. The material supply timelines have improved and we have better visibility now. We are building inventory to support the demand. We released our products, esomeprazole, melphalan and labetalol in new geographies during the quarter. Our key markets continue to remain MENA, LATAM and APAC. Our core markets, namely US, Canada, Europe and Australia, accounted for 72% of our revenue during Q2 FY23 as against 67% during Q2 FY22. We continue to focus on building a niche portfolio in our core markets. Although we have seen increased competition in our new products, we remain confident of a launch pipeline that will ensure sustainable growth in the market. India market accounts for 7% of our Q2 FY23 revenue. We restarted insulin dispatches during the second half of the quarter. The sales for Q2 FY23 were lower when compared to Q2 FY22 on account of absence of COVID-related product sales. Increased freight costs, in addition to supply chain disruptions, have not only impacted our ability to compete in the ROW and India business, but also contributed negatively on our margins. Smoothening of the supply should help us negate some of this impact in the coming quarters. Sustainable growth has been our focus. The monetary tightening has impacted valuations globally, and we continue to use this to our advantage to aggressively scout for inorganic opportunities. On the geographic growth, China remains a key geographic focus, and we expect to start receiving approvals during the current year. On the portfolio front, we expect another two complex filings during the current fiscal and have completed installation of manufacturing lines for suspensions and hormones. On the biosimilar CDMO business, we have completed several customer visits during H1 FY23 and few of those have moved to the stage of commercial negotiations. We signed up for a fill-finished clinical batch project and discussing on the DS project commercials as well. Positive momentum is seen in the biologics biosimilar CDMO space. With this, I wish everyone good health. I would like to now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ravi Mitra, who will share details about our financial performance for the quarter. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Mitra.
Thank you, Mr. Sadhu. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for attending our second quarter earnings call. Our earnings presentation has been submitted to the stock exchanges and is also available on our website. Let me begin with sharing the financial performance of second quarter and first half of financial year 22-23. Revenue from operations for the quarter FY23 stood at rupees 10,444 million, a reduction of 3% on year-on-year basis. We have seen revenues from core markets and ROW market has come back to normalcy and is in line with second quarter of previous year. We have witnessed 22% increase in revenue as compared to previous quarter. Revenue from operations for the first 6 months of fiscal 23 stood at rupees 19,013 million, a year-on-year decrease of 15% due to various reasons impacting first quarter of current fiscal year. Other income for the second quarter was rupees 656 million, which includes interest on fixed deposit of rupees 468 million, and foreign exchange gains on operations of rupees 181 million. For the H1 FY23, the other income was rupees 1,400 million, of which interest on fixed deposit of rupees 844 million and foreign exchange gains on operation of rupees 523 million. Gross margin of the company remains stable in both Q2 and H1 as compared to same period of previous financial year, but reduce quarter on quarter sequentially, largely due to change in geography mix and product mix. We have reported an EBITDA of rupees 3,625 million in Q2 FY23 compared to rupees 4,278 million which is a decrease of 15% compared to same period last financial year. EBITDA margin for Q2 FY22 stood at 33% as compared to 38% of the same period of previous financial year. Increased operating expenses such as higher logistic cost due to use of air shipments and certain one-time expenses impacted EBITDA margin of the company during the quarter. With normalization of inventory of certain critical items, we expect freight to come down with more sea shipments going forward. During the first half of the year, we managed to maintain similar gross margin, but EBITDA margin reduced due to higher power cost, employee cost on account of increased headcount for biologics and biosimilar CDMO facility, new commercial lines in Pashmilaram and for Vizag facility, and other operating expenses. EBITDA for the 6 months ended September 2022 was ₹7,068 million, compared to ₹9,259 million for the same period last year. We have reported EBITDA margin for H1 at 35%. Our net profit for second quarter decreased by 20% and stood at ₹2,412 million compared to Q2 FY22. During the quarter, we have recorded PAT margin of 22%. During the 6 months period of the current financial year, our PAT was ₹4,704 million at 23% margin. The total revenue R&D expenses for the second quarter was ₹394 million and stands at 3.8% of the revenue as against ₹362 million, a 3.3% of revenue, and year-on-year growth of 9%. The total revenue R&D expenses for the 6 months period was ₹743 million. It is 3.9% of our revenue. Our effective tax rate remains at about 26% in second quarter and for the first half of the current financial year. Cash flow from operation during 6 months period was ₹3,956 million. Working capital increased and stood at ₹21,436 million as on 30th September 2022. As compared to ₹20,217 million as on 31st March 2022 due to increase in inventory levels. Average cash conversion cycle stood at 231 days for the 6 months ending September 2022 as compared to 198 days of same period last financial year. Increased receivable and inventory days has pushed up the overall cash conversion cycle. Total capex incurred during 6 months was ₹825 million, used for increasing capacity at our Pashmilaram and Vizag API facility and for routine maintenance capex. Our ROCE on ex cash basis was at 21% on an annualized basis for the 6 months period of this fiscal year. Our fixed assets turnover stood at 2.4 times for H1 FY23. Decreased from 3.4 times for the same period last year. As on September 2022, we had total ₹38,200 million of cash and bank balances, which we intend to utilize for the capex plan and to fund our inorganic growth strategies. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. The first question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the U.S. numbers that we have reported in this quarter. You know, it seemed that overall the sales were pretty much flat. You mentioned in your opening remarks that we have seen competition in some of the recent launches. So could you give us, you know, some color on, you know, what's the pricing pressure that we are seeing there and how should we look at growth in this business as we go forward? Thank you.
Yeah, good evening, Neha. Yeah, if you compare to last year, I think it remains flat. I mean, we also need to consider last year there were sales which are COVID related. That's kind of gone down. From the pricing pressure perspective, if you look at our gross margin level, still they are intact. So I think the EBITDA margin impact is most on the cost side, which has impacted the bottom line. From growth perspective, we have launched 7 products last quarter. There's a plan to launch 11 products next quarter as well. I think it's depending on the size of the molecules, which quarter gets launched, that's where the growth comes from. So we're not committed to giving any numbers right now, but you know, the robust pipeline what we have in terms of filings and approvals, it's there. And we think it's, you know, it will help grow in the business as well.
Mr. Sadhu, I was looking at the numbers on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Given that we've, you know, launched products in the U.S., we haven't seen as much growth, you know, in the U.S. market. So, you know, and your comment, if there was not too much price erosion, shouldn't we have seen more growth in the U.S. given, you know, we have launched a couple of products, good products in the last 2 or 3 quarters? So, you know, I'm not looking at so much on a year-on-year basis, but on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
So some of the products for sure, you know, because of competition, we couldn't get to those volumes what we estimated, especially the oncology products like pemetrexed and bortezomib. These didn't contribute because of too many players. And I think that's why we couldn't show growth in that. But the other products what we launched are still has given some volumes, but these are not larger products. So I would say, I think the number of products launches happened also considerably lower when you look at annual basis. So if you look at last year, we have launched 32 products on an annual basis. So next quarters, we have few more product launches coming up.
So you should grow on the existing base that we have in the U.S., the $85 million base that we have in the U.S. Would that assumption be correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And my second question is on the ROW market. You know, we seem to have gone back to the levels that we were doing last year. So is it fair to assume that this is a sustainable number and there is no one-off in this? And as we get additional, you know, vendors for syringes, etc., you know, again, there should be growth on the ROW business from this base in the second half?
So the issue what we're facing with ROW and Indian business is because of the disruptions, most of it we have airlifted last few quarters, and that is putting pressure on our margins and also the ability to compete. So unless that stabilizes and, you know, we evaluate the market, it's difficult to comment. But at least once the cost settles down, I think we'll have a better opportunity to grow in that business.
But there is no one-off in the current base. Is that assumption right?
No, there's no one-off, no.
All right, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeresh from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. What is the profit share number for the quarter?
Profit share? 7%.
7%?
Okay. New share of new launches in the quarter? Revenue from new launches?
3%. About
3%? 3%. India sales, I think last quarter, maybe I don't remember correctly, but I was under the impression that you had guided for a 100 crore run rate in India business. So it is slightly lower. Any particular reason?
So India business, I think a few factors, like I said, the import costs have not helped us. So the margins are pretty low. So we're not able to compete in the domestic market. It's a combination of the dollar going up, so adding up to increased costs for us. And also the importing costs have gone up. That's one reason. The other is the insulin line, which gives us the, which contributes the largest chunk for domestic business. That got started off in the middle of this quarter. So I think this quarter we, normal run rate is around 25 to 30 crores quarter, but I think we have built on about 11 crores because it started a bit late in the, it's in the second half of this quarter.
Okay. And the US sales also, like given the exclusivity we have on zinc sulfate, and then there was the, presumption of, supply both for stopper as well as for syringes, I was expecting a slightly better number sequentially based on the commentary from last quarter. So the current US sales, is this as per expectation or you are tracking below your original expectation for this quarter?
So the supply disruption 100% is not done. Syringes, we are good. But still the stopper position is still not great. We are getting in tranches, so that's impacted us. Even some bag manufacturing has happened only 50% of the time because of some shortage issues. So still, I think there's an impact of the supplies which has contributed to this sale.
Would you be able to quantify it, sir? Like how much sales you would have, done if there was no disruption in US?
We don't want to quantify that. But I would say, the bag line was running for like half of the quarter.
Half of the quarter, okay. And margin also, gross margin also, there is some deterioration, it seems. Although the mix is not very different. In India, you're saying you did not do the lower margin business. So if you see year over year and compare it to the revenue buckets, the US business, the rest of the world business, there seems to be some, compression in gross margin. So is that related to competitive pressure?
From gross margin level, I think US, we are pretty much stable compared to last year. So first quarter was a little exception, I would say.
So I'm comparing September 21 with September 22 quarter, and I'm seeing the revenue mix in various geographies, as well as the gross margin that we reported. So I'm seeing some compression in gross margin by about 120 bps. Is that because of US pricing pressure? Because if you see the absolute revenue in terms of, what we did, like 750 crores in regulated markets, 230 crores in rest of the world, which is similar like year over year, but there is still some compression. So is it because of lower profit share you've had this year, this quarter? Or is it to do with, some markets having more competitive pricing pressure?
Actually, if you look at Q2 FY22 to Q2 FY23, the US market margin actually has gone up, contribution margin, 57% to 58%. From Q1 FY23 to Q2 FY23, it has gone down by 1%. So basically, it's flat for, it's almost like similar kind for that market. I think where we have lost margin a bit is in Canada, where it has gone down. Where it has gone down from I think almost 88%. We were having a larger margin for cortisamine what we sell in Canada. That has gone down to 65%. But otherwise,
Canada is typically what percentage of revenue, sir?
That's for the quarter is about 17 crores, so 2%.
So Canada is not that big, okay. Any other region you want to call out in terms of margin, contribution margin compression?
In fact, rest of the core markets, it's in fact better or flat. So, but rest of the world market has gone down in terms of margin. If you look at it from last year to this year, it had gone down from 35% to 25%. And that's mostly because of the import costs and why we are, most of it is that we're importing, we're airlifting because of the supply disruption. And we're not able to pass on this. Yeah.
why are we not able to pass it on? Because others also will be facing similar. So the industry in aggregate is absorbing this in the rest of the world and Indian market?
Most of it is like a transfer price model what we have in the rest of the world, unlike US where it's a profit share. And so there's actually one side is the contribution margin also, you know, the freight cost comes below the contribution margin for ROW market, so it comes under the EBITDA. So that also has impacted our margins as a company.
Yeah, also, Dinesh, just to add to what Mr. Sadhu was talking about is that this also includes in the gross contribution is largely 50-52%. Similarly, in earlier quarters, Q1 was an aberration. But this time we have also, you know, based on the discussion we were having with the several customers on our drug substance projects, so we have taken a one-time inventory write-off of about 7-8 crores in our biologic CDMO facility, basis of the feedback we got and what would be required going for the different contracts we are working on. So this, I think, is about 0.7-0.8%, and it's a one-off in nature. This would impact your gross margin. Below that, in EBITDA margin, the one-time sum, what you are explaining is, of course, the M&A cost is about 4 crores this quarter. And we have built up the employees also for the biosimilar business, and Shamirpet cost is also like about, and Pash and Shamirpet, both these employees, we have added about 500 headcounts. So this is also impacting the margin. But once the revenue start coming in the biosimilar Shamirpet facility, I think that would negate.
Thank you. Mr. Dinesh, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much and a very good evening to everyone. So, just a couple of points I wanted to check from our discussion in the previous Q1 con call. If my memory is right, if my notes are right, then you had mentioned that for the balance 9 months, that you would grow 20% on the top, 18-20% on the top line. This quarter you are more or less flat, up 3%. So I just wanted to check on that. And second, I think you had guided on the margins as well, that you would maintain Q1 margin, operating margin, which was 31.5, and you have come this quarter at 28.5, so down 300 basis points. So if you can just clarify on these two points.
Yeah, so one is on the estimated revenues, what we thought for the large oncology didn't happen because of the competition. That's one. Second, as I mentioned in the previous question, some disruption of a couple of our manufacturing lines because of the supply issues. So that didn't help grow the business. From margin perspective, like Mr. Ravi said, they are like one-off items, which has impacted the margin, about close to 1% on write-off of one-time deals and also the M&A cost. So that's totally about 1.5 to 1.8% has gone from there. So if you add that, it will be like close to 30.5 or something.
Sure, sir. I mean, the numbers still don't total up because on a sales base of 1,000 crores, to miss 20% growth is like missing 200 crores. That's a big miss. So I'm just wondering what happened within 3 months and what's the outlook for the second half, both on the sales as well as on the margins.
So we don't want to give a guidance, you know, because we're still, you know, the market is still volatile. And, you know, there's a, from a member perspective, I would say, one side, the insulin didn't start at the beginning of the quarter, it started late part of the quarter. And disruption in bag manufacturing as well as some delay in Lyo installations, you know, didn't help us in terms of capacities. And of course, the oncology products are the big products. We estimated a larger chunk coming from those two products. These are $1 billion products, but, you know, that didn't happen. And these are the factors which have impacted the numbers.
So if you can just, I don't want numbers, but how do we model second half going into fiscal 24? If you can just help with that, just qualitatively, you know, how do you see business panning out?
One other aspect what you forgot is the heparin stoppers still, we said the later part of the last quarter. That also has impacted. Heparin supplies didn't start yet, and that's almost 40-50 crores quarter sales for us. That's only we're expecting in November to come. That's one another area where, you know, we couldn't build the revenue. Moving forward, you know, the while we are focusing on growth and filing products and launching products, being the market is so volatile and the supplies are not yet 100% in line with our plan, it's very difficult to estimate the near-term growth, and you know, difficult to comment on the future growth or business guidance for short tenure. We are assessing the situation, and once we have better visibility of growth, I think we'll update you soon. We are doing everything in terms of, you know, the growing the business, the current existing business, and also working on the growth levers. While working on current portfolio, we're also discussing on increasing the CDMO side of the business. Now that we have added capacities in new capacities in the line, I think there's also an increase in cost in the manpower because we have added 400-500 people to get the lines on track last quarter. We're aggressively pursuing the CDMO business on those lines. This should add up to some revenues coming in the next few quarters. I think once we have some visibility, we'll give you a growth. As of now, because of the volatility of the business and not clear indication of how the supply is going to happen, you know, we don't want to give an indication for the near-term growth.
Okay, that's fine, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Rathod from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you give your outlook on the margin? I think last quarter you spoke about some 31%-32% margin excluding other income. Is that intact? Given you explained partly this quarter margin has been impacted due to one-offs or even that needs to be downgraded?
If you look at the quarter, if you remove the other income, it's around 28.5% EBITDA. If you add the one-time expenses of whether the write-off of materials, it should come down to 30.5% to close to 31%. We are, like we guided, should be around that range, at least on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If there's any change, we'll let you know.
Sir, on the supply disruptions, particularly for stoppers, has your visibility improved and you're confident of things coming back by November, December end, or that has deteriorated further and uncertainty still there?
Some stoppers. See, there are two things we are doing, right? Not just stoppers, but other aspects that also has contributed to the cost. While we have added additional suppliers, both from stoppers, tubings and filters perspective. Several products we have worked on in last few quarters that also has added to the cost to the company. In terms of heparin, which is a key product where we're not able to supply, we have finalized alternate suppliers, and so we're gonna file that this quarter. We're expecting an approval in 3 months. In the meanwhile, we are getting some not 100% to meet the demand, but we are getting in tranches, so some part we'll get in November. Probably next one quarter, I would say the first quarter of next year, it should normalize in a combination of what we have approved as a stopper today and also the new stopper what we have qualified.
Okay. Last one, on this 500 employee addition, can you give some color what you are planning to do, what, in terms of, is there some visibility in terms of order backlog or order book, which is why you have done this thing, or it's more of a medium-term investment?
If you look at the capacity utilization for us, the liquid vials, actually we are running almost like 85%-90% of capacity, and we are not able to take up new orders. Because of the delay of installations, it kind of pushed out. We have one line which got installed last quarter, where we are also planning to produce the hormonal suspension product. Currently we are taking a lot of R&D batches on that because we have complex product filings as well to do in next 4 months. Once those filing batches are done, then we'll use for commercial production. So that will bring the revenue from the commercial angle. So we added manpower for that line. And also we have added 3 lyophilizers. Again, we are running at 80% capacity for that lyo. There are contracts where we are not able to cater to, which are larger ones, especially on the CMO side. So we can actually get access to those kind of contracts. So these 3 lyos will come on track in next quarter. So this is more a near-term commercial opportunity we have. And we are also investing CapEx on bag manufacturing, because current bags, again, we are not able to meet the demand what we have from the U.S. So the additional CapEx has also been planned for that as well. From Vizag Oncology, we have added one more line, so that's coming on track. So that will again give, we can leverage that to get more CDMO business from the oncology side as well. So these are more growth drivers for us in the near future.
Okay. Thank you. That's all my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is largely relating more of a clarification. In your presentation, you have talked about, things are getting normalized, especially for ROW and qualification of alternate suppliers is in process. So, it's going to take 1-2 more quarters to normalize, or we are done with it and from next quarter we start seeing the growth on ROW?
So ROW now, actually it has come back to normalcy in terms of at least the pre-filled syringe products. Now it's more to do with the costs we have been incurring on that and our ability to compete in the market. So it should come back now. In terms of supplies, we don't have an issue. We also have alternate suppliers for that, and we have already started supplying with alternate syringes.
So these are qualified alternate suppliers, which is other than BD. What should we understand like that? Or because in the last call you said it takes couple of quarters to get qualification. So have we done that qualification yet?
Yeah, it's already done, and we have already initiated supplies with one of the suppliers.
Okay. And for the US, in the past you said that because ROW having same qualification, you are using ROW supplies to cater to US. So now with ROW resolving and US, you don't think there is any shortage as such. It's more related to pricing competition as well as portfolio, less number of products launched. Nothing related to shortage apart from the stopper issue. Is that the correct understanding?
Yes, stopper issue for heparin, and we have 3 or 4 other products where we have tubing and filter issues where we have filed alternative sources for those products. There are also issue with bags where we have a problem with the twist off course which got resolved in the recent past. So so last 1 month we don't have that issue. So I think moving forward, most of the issues will be covered except the stopper for the heparin.
Understood. And for that commentary is that earlier was November, but you are still saying it is coming in batches. So maybe by Q1 of next calendar year, it should get normalized. Is that the understanding correct?
Yeah. So even now, the first tranche is coming in November, but not, it's only a partial quantity. We're qualifying a second stopper and filing this quarter, and that might take an approval for 2 or 3 months. So if that approval comes earlier, then probably next quarter, that can resolve 100%. Otherwise, one more quarter, we have to suffer with the partial supplies.
Lovely. And lastly, on the US FDA side, is there any commentary? Last time, I think there was a product-related inspection. And for the 2 large facilities, we are due for inspection. Is there a commentary or we have a tag date a date where we would have the inspections?
So we already had one inspection, like I read in my commentary. So we had completed for one site for the product PAI, and we got one observation for which we have responded. The other sites, we don't have any information on when they're going to visit. So mostly it's unannounced inspection, so we don't know when they're going to come.
Okay. But that product related means that we are done with the facility inspection also, or is that checkboxed, or it's yet to, I mean, it's related to product only and then the facility inspection is still due for the first one?
So normally for a PAI, you know, it's a combination of both GMP and all that. They don't come back again. But depends on, you know, the depends on the inspector as well. But normally, whether it's a PAI or a normal inspection, they go through the site in entirety.
Thank you. Mr. Agarwal, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Mehta from Clay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a bookkeeping question. Can you guys tell us what is the expense attributable to the CDMO business on the OPEX side? It would include the staff, R&D, batch, etc. Very specifically, if you could just tell us for this quarter, only for the non-revenue generating CDMO business.
Yeah, at EBITDA level, it's 15 crores on the quarter without including the depreciation.
If you would add the depreciation also, Ravi, is it possible to quantify that? Hello.
Yeah, so depreciation is another 6-7 crores for the quarter.
And you've spoken somewhere in the call and there in the presentation also that you are closer to commercial negotiations. So I'm assuming everything has been charged to P&L as of now, including the write-offs which you earlier spoke about. So I'm not asking for a date or for the contract tenure, etc. Is it fair to assume that in calendar year 23, your revenue stream may start, assuming that these expenses obviously will continue or even in fact increase as you go near to the contractual agreement stage?
Yeah, the business will start for sure. I don't know how much you know it will cover the total cost. If not 100%, it should cover.
I'm not asking for a revenue number. So in a sense, is it fair to assume that about 60 crores a year at this run rate will be the cost which you will incur? Or are there any more investments, particularly above the EBITDA level, which one can expect in Q3, Q4, or even in the next 3-4 quarters? Just operationally, in terms of expense, EBITDA, etc., if that is something that you can just talk about. Thank you.
No, on the overhead side, I think we are all done in terms of people or utility or consumables. So it will not go up when the revenue starts. Of course, the direct material linked to that will be in line with the revenue also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Naidu from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to have your comments on yesterday's Moody's downgrade. I mean, how should we think about this entire scenario and given the lineup of assets which Fosun is intending to offload, and how does that impact state healthcare vertical generally, and are there any thoughts on Indian business as well?
Yeah, so but to start with, the issues which you mentioned is at Fosun International level, our promoter is Fosun Pharma, which is again a listed company.
There is no balance sheet linkage or any dependency with them today. We have business relationship with Fosun Pharma. Like, for example, we sell to their subsidiary in US and other area. Last year we did about 170-180 crores. This half year we did about 100 crores. And purchase is also from some of the subsidiaries in China, which is about, again, last year 100 crores. So I think other than that, there is no impact in business per se. And of course, the concern which you raised and came out in the news is at shareholder level. So difficult to comment from our standpoint.
That's helpful. In Q1 commentary, one of the reasons that you have highlighted for lower US performance is shortages, and then inventory in transit is what you had alluded to. Now, if I just look into, you see how the numbers stack up, there was a pre-existing inventory, and now again, there is a decent buildup of inventory in the system. So how should I actually look into the on-the-ground dynamic? I mean, what exactly is playing out? I mean, is it a competitive intensity or lower uptake of products or demand? What exactly is happening in the U.S. market?
Yeah, for sure. The competition is higher compared to earlier. But if you look at our older products, are still intact in terms of margins, and if you look at the growth, it's coming from price also, and also new products. But it's a degrowth of about 7 to 8% by volumes. Now these volumes is a mix of what we are not able to supply, and also from the demand situation for some of the products where it has not gone back. Some of our key products have still not gone back to the earlier level. It should start from this quarter or the next quarter. Like I said, we were having more contracts last year, and the pipeline buildup was there. Now that's getting used up, so we should start seeing from the future. So in that sense, I think it's volume degrowth which has impacted a bit, which should come back next few quarters.
In last call, you seemed more optimistic when you were related to incremental contracts from existing buyer and also seasonality. But then now you seem to be refraining from giving a guidance for the second half. My understanding was that you guys had alluded to a more flattish kind of FY23. I mean, is it fair to expect that that will be delivered, or it will be tough to take a call at this point in time?
It's tough to tell right now because we don't want to comment on it. Like I said, while we are estimating the supplies to come on track, there were certain delays happening because of the volatility, and as well, most of the shipments we are now making it by sea to reduce our costs. So that we will compromise a bit on our ROW sales and Indian sales, at least to keep our margins intact and profitability higher. So we'll keep you posted in next few months once we get a clear visibility and this volatility moves away.
Okay, so one final question, if I may. You had guided for 350 crores of capex per annum. We seem to be going a bit slow on that part. I mean, is there any reason or what exactly is happening with regards to onboarding of new facilities?
No, it's a timing, I think. It is all in track because these are all 300 crores indicated earlier is all project-wise, already approved budget. Work is going on. It is only a timing of spend, but year-end we'll end up that number. For the next year, in fact, we are looking at some more additional capacity, which Mr. Sadhu was explaining in terms of certain delivery formats. So we'll, in the next analyst call quarter, I think we'll update that for FY24 capex guidance. But FY23, we are on track.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you share, you mentioned profit share of 7%. What is the number for, the first half and also for FY22?
Yes, I can. Yeah, so 6 months FY22 is 8%, and even FY23 it's the same range, 8%.
Okay, and so the service income has been very high last year, FY22. Has it come off in the first half compared to what it was in the previous year?
It's almost same, right? I mean, 7% last year. In fact, this year is 8%, the milestone revenue.
8% milestone revenue. Okay.
Yeah.
So the next question I have, is on China. How many products you have filed? How many more you are to mention? I think you will be stepping up your filings. If you can give a sense of how large these products are, any unique opportunities in terms of being present in the first wave, etc., any color, and how should we think about ramping up of this revenue in China over the next 2-3 years?
So 8 products we have filed, 2 are expected approval, that's what the team says, by end of this year, 1 I think this quarter and 1 next quarter, and 6 probably next year. This is a filing plan of 6 products again in FY24.
And sir, in terms of size, opportunity, competition, how should we think about once you get these approvals, how the China revenues will ramp up?
We will take that offline, Tushar. Sumanta will give you that.
Hello.
Sain, we'll take that offline. Sumanta will give that information.
Okay, sure. And sir, one question if I can ask on ROW. So, you know, we have seen a very good ramp up over the last 2 years. You know, in terms of product registration, it hasn't gone up that much, but the revenues went up a lot in ROW. It was a bit volatile, and you mentioned some of the reasons. Now, I understand once things stabilize, it will probably take some time. How should we think about growth in ROW, excluding China, let's say, over the next 2-3 years? You know, the run rate has been exceptionally high for us.
So one is, you know, the percentage gives a wrong indication because the base was very low a few years ago. So the percentage looks high. Now the base is high. And from the registrations perspective, historically we've been compromising on, you know, we didn't leverage registrations what we have because of capacity constraints, what we are doing today. And also the GCC market we never explored earlier. Most of the focus was on LATAM and APAC regions. So that region opened up because of the margin profile there is better than other markets. There's a lot more competition, and with our quality systems, you know, we are not able to compete in some of these markets. But GCC has a better margin profile. So that's contributing now almost 26-27% of the revenue, which was not there before, in terms of ROW business. So we, with capacities coming on track now with additional lines, coming on board, we continue to focus on that in that region. While we can't comment on the growth, but a lot of focus is happening in terms of registrations also. You know, we're entering Mexico, we're entering South Africa as well, which are not there earlier. Some of the CIS countries we are entering now. So these are the new territories where we are trying to enter and, you know, increase the market.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun Shetty from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Just a few clarifications from my side. Could you help me with the number of launches for this year and next 2 years in the US market?
Just be online.
The first 6 months, we have launched about 20 SKUs. In the US, and next 2 quarters we have about 25 launches planned.
So next two. So for the next 2 years, FY24, is there any visibility for FY25?
So this quarter we have about 9 launches happening. 9 launches happening, and next quarter is about 16 launches.
Oh, I was looking for FY24 guidance.
FY24, Normally, it's between, I know, I don't have it on hand, but normally it's between 25 to 30 launches.
Okay. So yeah, the next one will be on the inventory and receivable levels. They are quite high. So do you see them remaining at current levels, or should we build more normalized, or it might go on a downward trend in the coming quarters?
No, we have restocked, if you see, from March level, and should be around this level going forward. This is a high inventory, we explained earlier also. A kind of, and because of the volatile situation, we would like to have the inventory in hand.
Okay, lastly, last month, clarification was on the ROW. You mentioned the ROW margin at 25% for this quarter, which was around 35% last year. Am I hearing it right, or was it some, was it different?
Thirty-five percent gross margin the previous quarter compared to 25% of the recent quarter. Yes.
Okay, this is gross margin.
Correct.
Yeah, that's it for myself. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Sir, there is a disturbance coming from your line. Request you to use the handset mode.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Sir, please use the handset mode. There is a disturbance coming from your line.
One second. Hello. Is it better?
Sir, you may proceed.
Hello. Yeah, so I just would like to know if you could describe the state of the U.S. injectable industry at the moment. Is there a risk of prolonged price erosion due to rising competition, just like we have been seeing in generic or oral salt dosage industry over the past few years?
The competition is intense for sure. So all the new launches, you know, we kind of cutting down on the forecast, especially with last few quarters. But otherwise, if you see from our pipeline perspective, our margins are intact. I mean, I've been saying, you know, our gross margin is still at around 52%. Historically, that's been the case. But whatever new launches are happening, earlier it used to be higher in the first year. It used to be like 65-70%, and even some products it used to be like 75-80%. I think, and then it used to settle down around 40-50% after 3 years. So that scenario we're not seeing from last few quarters. It is going down on the first year itself because of the competition. But we got to see with FDA coming back and auditing a lot of sites. And now we have to see whether the competition will stay intact and how long can they sustain with this pricing what they're offering in the market. Because this is a cycle, we're in that space where, you know, we have seen that few years ago, where a lot of companies will launch till the capacity gets filled up and then it goes and then they start exiting the market. So we have to give that time till that happens.
That's all from us.
Audio is not clear from your line, so there's a disturbance coming.
Yeah, that's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening. I just had one follow-up question on growth going forward. So if you, keeping aside the near-term volatility, could you give us some sense of whether this is still structurally a 20% plus growth business that we have seen in the past, or do you think, given where we are in terms of base, you know, it would be slightly lower than that? And some sense on that would be helpful, ignoring the near-term volatility part.
Yeah, from growth levers perspective, there are a lot of opportunities out still there, right? I mean, whether if you look at long-acting injectable space, the ophthalmic suspension space, the pen auto-injector space where we have invested recently. We have investing into bags now in a big way. And also from geography perspective, just entering some of these markets where we never grown earlier. So the opportunities are there. It's just that I would say it's a consolidation phase where we're going through. We also need to streamline the supply, you know, thinking from a long-term perspective, having several alternative sources for several aspects of products, at least for the key products. So in the last 1 year, we invested almost 20, 25 products, working around, you know, adding alternate suppliers in various areas. That also has added up to the cost, but, you know, these are all like investments we're making for the future growth and more stability for the business. So once in 5-6 years, you know, we need that year where we have to consolidate the business. I think we are using that now. But from an opportunity perspective, there's several areas we can grow in. We have seen a lot of positive feedback on the biosimilar CDMO space. A lot of customers are approaching us. The relationships what we have with customers are intact. The large customers, the portfolio is still growing with their biggest customers. Instead of smaller players coming and creating some noise in terms of offering products at a cheaper price, but still we have our own place in terms of the growth. So we are pretty confident on the growth in the future because the opportunities are there. It says that, you know, we have to overcome the current tide in terms of supplies and operational issues. Because while we're talking about supply disruption directly linked to the components and all that, we have to see whenever expanding, the lines are not coming on track as per plan because people can't travel, the technicians can't travel. So several things happen when you're running a manufacturing setup. So in that side, once this settles, I think we have a good growth story to move forward.
Yeah, thank you. That's it for me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumanto Bajpayee for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your participation during the call. If any questions still remain unanswered, please reach out to us, to me and our investor relations team. And thanks again. We would like to reconnect again in our next earnings call. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.